This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Mr. Bradbury, hello, and hello to everybody listening out there.
And of course, Arif Ruz has finally joined us from his vacation overseas in the Maldives after 18 weeks. He is back with us here on the show.
What?
Where have you been? What did you do?
Well, I do have a real job here, actually.
You do have a real job here.
Right? I was at a talk. Some digital talk.
Something interesting, was it?
Yeah, very interesting.
You sound thoroughly enthusiastic. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, lined up on today's show, as usual, we have some news coming up. We have our AT&T segment, which is all about Amazon's Echo Auto. And then we'll be wrapping up with a discussion about something really interesting and fascinating and something that I'm thoroughly excited about, because we don't have a car review. It is car insurance policies. But as usual, with the news, it is, of course, Mr. Arif Ruz. Arif, tell me about online driving licenses and the test fee.
Yep, so the Ministry of Transport announced that it's coming down by 7 ringgit, from 27 ringgit to 20 ringgit.
That's all
that the news reported, to be honest.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's it.
But 7 ringgit is lunch, so it's
that's
good
true.
News.
It's
good
that's news. True, yeah, yes. Okay. Next, Puspacom.
Yeah, we've got Puspacom actually have been online for quite a while, but now you can book an inspection, pay online for the Puspacom fees, check your vehicle info, including every inspection activity as well as previous inspection records. And these inspection results will be emailed to users. So it's quite convenient, and you have to use it through the My Puspacom app to go through it.
So you are telling me now that we are in 2018.
Yes.
We've finally come up to the digital age.
Yes.
Wonderful. There we go then. Daniel, anything to say about that?
Well, you know, it's almost like a monopoly. Which is Puspacom. So
nobody would say that other than you.
Whether they go digitally or go traditional, we have to toe the line, right?
Well, it steps in the right direction then.
Yeah.
But definitely. They're doing a good job.
They're doing a good job.
Oh, yeah. I like what you did
They're doing a good job. Yes. They keep our emissions in control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Okay, let's move on to story number two. Proton apparently have been very busy.
Two announcements this week, actually. The Proton X70 is confirmed to be launching in November. And apparently, they've been quite excited about it. They're chasing 6,000 bookings between now and November. And Malaysians are quite excited about it, I think.
Are we sharing this view of excitement, Daniel?
I'm really excited because Malaysians are excited. And when Malaysians are excited, I'm excited.
You sound so excited right now.
Well, since everybody's excited, we've got apparently got two more Geely Protons coming. Proton signed an agreement with Geely to develop, manufacture, and distribute two more cars. Geely's upcoming small SUV and an MPV, which people are touting, is going to replace the current Exora. This is all in line with Geely's plans to make Proton and Malaysia's Geely's right-hand drive and regional hub. But I don't know. Proton's current lineup seems to be quite packed at the moment. I don't know which current models that they'll probably drop.
I think the Preve is going to be dropped.
Why the Preve?
Because the Preve is neither here nor there. It's a nice looking car, but it's neither here nor there because the competition, there's so much competition in the market. Unless Geely comes with a solution at a better price, which is going to be difficult. The Suprema S, again, very close to the Preve in terms of price, in terms of feature and everything else. Also that I think it's neither here nor there. But the saga will continue, I'm very sure. The Exora is a product that is definitely needed because why? MPV and SUV market for Malaysians is just the way to go. And if Geely wants to get into the Indonesian and Thailand market, they must have an MPV.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Moving on.
I want to talk about something because...
Careful, Daniel. He wants to talk about something.
Yes.
All right. I want to bring something up because these past few months, we've been talking about the national car and we've been criticizing Proton a lot, right?
I wouldn't say we've been criticizing. I'd say we've been exploring what they were suggesting.
Constructive statements.
Constructive statements and yes.
And so the Prime Minister, Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, has been defending Proton, saying that... Proton has always been a success until the foreign makes were allowed to come in. And he's referring to 2005 when former Prime Minister Abdullah Badawi started to allow imported car permits, which began Proton's decline. And I do have a question for you, Daniel. Is he right?
Somehow or other, that sounds very strange because the imported cars permits were being done much earlier, much earlier. You know, I remember even before I got into this trade, 20 over years ago, imported cars were coming in. Honda Accords, Honda Civics, Toyotas, you know, the smaller cars. So this is not something which I think the former Prime Minister Badawi did. I think it was already there. APs and Pakema and all these grey importers were already there. Small, but they grew very fast because why? There was a huge gap in the market. Malaysians had money, they wanted cars. Yes, Proton was a good car at the time. There was nothing wrong with it because it was 100% Mitsubishi engineering.
Right,
yeah.
And while they were developed with Mitsubishi, when they went overseas, like to the UK, Richard, they sold very well. In Australia, they sold very well. It's only when they decided to do their own internal engineering and internal styling, things started to go sideways a little bit. And now with the new national car project, news in today that, you know, a government agency, a think tank, has already made an announcement that the car project is going ahead, is going to be full EV and everything else. Now, all this sounds fantastic, but again, if you're doing a joint venture with a current car manufacturer that already has EV technology, fine, you can go global very fast. That's why I keep mentioning Link & Co or any other partner.
And because you've got shares in the company.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you're going to go, for example, and start everything from scratch, like what Proton decided to do a few years ago, I think it's just going to be way too much money. Way too much money.
It's going to take too long. It's going to be too much money. You've already got infrastructure in place. Take advantage of it,
yes,
right?
Yep,
that makes more sense. Okay. Anything else?
No. Let's move on to
Mazda. They want Zoom Zoom. That was an advert for them, wasn't it? Zoom Zoom Zoom. For their sustainability.
Yep. So, you know, in 2017, everybody started to go on the EV rush. Suddenly all manufacturers decided, let's change the whole fleet and make them all electric vehicles by 2020. Well, Mazda stuck to their guns and they wanted to create the perfect combustion engine. And they kind of did, even though it cost like $1 million. They did it with the Skyactiv X engine. The reason for this, why they didn't move towards EVs or why they didn't plan yet, was because despite polluting very little local or no local emissions through the exhaust, they still have a total carbon footprint of about 128 grams per kilometer. It's not literally really no different to really, really efficient engines, which emit about the same too. But recently, they said that most of its vehicles will be electrified by 2030, which is about 10 years late to the game. But that doesn't mean that the whole range is going to go EVs, because there's an important distinction between an EV and an electrified vehicle. An EV is a battery-powered vehicle with an electric motor. An electrified vehicle is a combustion engine with a motor and battery-assisted, mainly 48 volts or mild hybrids if you see them everywhere.
Right.
And the Mazda boss, he says that only 5% of their cars in 2030 will be battery-powered EVs. 95% of them will be electrified.
Right.
That's quite interesting. I think they'll be the only ones standing out from the crowd back then.
Daniel,
later on.
Comments?
I think Mazda has gone the right way with engine technology. While everybody tried to, you know, go totally in a different direction, they said, yeah, let's reinvent the combustion engine. Let's look at what is making this engine work and make it more and more and more efficient. And I think the engineers have done a good job. The problem is Mazda is relatively a small car manufacturer in the global scene.
In the global scene, yeah.
Because they don't have many factories. I think given enough time, they will open a factory or a hub in ASEAN, because ASEAN is growing so fast for them. Like Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, and especially Malaysia. The number of Mazdas you see on the road today is just phenomenal. The growth has been phenomenal. And guess what? They build beautiful looking cars.
Yeah, they do.
They do. Now, my question then is, why this growth spurt here in particular? Why do we think they're growing so well? It's not just because of the way that they look. Are they offering something in their after-sales service that other companies perhaps are not?
I don't think it's that. I think it's just, you know, when you walk into a showroom, a lot of people today, it's the first love, you know. Mm. You walk into the showroom, you look at the car and say, wow, I want to own this car. And the colors they got, you know, the beautiful soul red.
Yeah.
Something like that just attracts attention. And you get into the car, it's simple, classy, it's straight to the point. It's not cluttered with a lot of gimmicks, you know. A lot of Malaysians, as they get older, they don't want gimmicks. They want something. So you see a lot of mature people getting into Mazdas and saying, yes, I want to own this. I want to drive this.
To be honest, I've never driven a bad Mazda, honestly.
Exactly, yeah.
They're amazing driving cars.
1 point for Mazda then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on to new car launches. Let's start off with the locals. The Volvo.
I want to start this.
Okay, you can start this.
I want to start this. The Volvo XC40
Tell me
has
about
arrived.
It,
finally, it's arrived. Finally, it's arrived. It was launched yesterday at Genting. Big news. Massive amount of media people attended. Followed through at night with a cocktail reception and dinner for guests and customers.
That's why you were late today, is it?
Yes, yes. Because I was invited for both.
Right,
so I spent
right.
complete day and night at Genting, and I tell you, it's a lovely looking car. It's it touch, feel, everything is fantabulous. The only thing I can't put my thumb on it, you know, is how well they've priced it. And I'll share that on dsf.my with all the listeners.
He is teasing us. He's teasing us right now. Okay.
You've got one for the weekend too, right?
I'm driving it right
so
now.
So are we going to expect a review next week?
Well, you know, if you're really nice to me.
Oh, oh, okay. So the Volvo XC40 review coming next week, allegedly, maybe, possibly, could be. Let's move on. The next one, the Ford Ranger facelift. What's going on there?
Yep, so we've got the three lines. And the most interesting one, the one with the most changes, is the Wildtrak, which is the mid-range line. It gets a new engine, a 2-litre turbo engine, with 500 newton meters of torque, which is a lot, and 10-speed automatic, and it comes with a lot of safety bits like forward collision warning, lane keep assist, autonomous emergency braking, and even adaptive cruise control. The Ranger Raptor, which everybody is interested in, is coming to Malaysia, but no news about that, but people are expecting about a 200,000 ringgit price.
230. Sold out. Sold out for 1 year.
Wow.
People have got a lot of money, haven't they?
Yes.
So where are they getting all this money from?
Because all of them have your salary.
Oh, please.
Oh,
keeps going on about it. Right, okay. Let's move on away from my salary, clearly, onto global launches at the Paris Motor Show, starting off with the BMW 3 Series G20.
Yep. Mm. Oh, this...
Tasty.
The design has split.
I saw a picture of this. This is the one that you posted just a couple of days ago, the electric blue-looking thing.
Yep. Yes. Follow on Instagram, by the way, at BFM Cruise Control.
There we go, yes. Yeah. Nice little plug there. Have you seen that, Daniel? Do you know we got an Instagram now?
I know.
It's good, right?
Rev is doing a good job.
Yes.
Soon he'll be earning half your salary.
Well, the car, actually, within the BMW community, me being a BMW fan, I don't know, everybody seems to hate it. All the BMW fans seem to hate it, but I love it. The car itself is about 55 kilograms lighter, about a weight of a person. Mm-hmm. Lighter than...
A very light person.
Lighter than the previous generation. It comes with a new bunch of engines. The interior is a lot sleeker, and I think it's going to be a C-Class beater.
Why is the BMW community against it then, for the most part?
Because they think it looks too much like a Lexus. Rear end, it looks like a Lexus. They're saying like, oh, it's an evolution, not a revolution. But BMW's always done this, so I don't know what you're complaining about, BMW guys. Come on, get it together.
I think sometimes when people complain, it's because they know they can't afford it.
Okay, from one German to another, the Mercedes B-Class, the GLE.
Yep, so the least loved Mercedes, finally gets a revamp. They get a similar interior to their new stuff, almost S-Class-like. And they've also revealed the new AMG A35, which I think Mercedes-Benz Malaysia have been teasing too.
Yes.
It's a 300 horsepower all-wheel drive car, a four-wheel drive car. I think it's going to be pretty cool too. And finally, in Paris, the outstanding car is the Kia Ceed, or the Proceed. It's a Civic Challenger, and I'm not sure if they bring it here. I think it's a European market only, but
for European market. You know, even the previous Kia Ceed and Proceed was good-looking cars, great features, but the cost to bring it here just didn't make any sense. And you don't have a CKD program for European spec Kia. So,
that's a shame.
Yeah, that's why the Stinger, you know, the Kia Stinger, the big sports sedan, is so expensive because they tested the market and brought it in. I got some news on the Stinger.
Yeah?
The Stinger was launched, and 500 Malaysians expressed interest in the car, serious interest. 80 bought the car.
Ooh.
200 are ready to put a deposit.
Ooh.
Good news, then.
So for a premium Kia costing more than $250,000 upwards, Malaysians are willing to pay. So it's no longer badge branding. Mm. It's how sexy the car looks. Mm. Just like what we said just now about Mazda.
Yeah.
If the car looks great, the features are great, Malaysians will look past the badge and say, okay, I think I can accept this.
Yeah.
We're getting mature.
Because it was only a couple of weeks ago you were saying that people would not like that. You know?
Exactly.
Okay, that was, of course, the news from Mr. Arif Ruse. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. When we come back, we have a little bit of our AT&T segment, all about Amazon's Echo Auto. And then we've got, of course, our discussion, which will be about car insurance policies. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. As usual, I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello.
Hello.
There he is.
Richard.
And Mr. Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello.
Now, it's time for our AT&T segment about the Echo Auto from Amazon.
Auto technology and tips brought to you by Volvo, made by Sweden.
This little device has really caught my attention. It came into the market, I mean the American market, about a month ago. But, you know, I've heard about it slowly coming into Malaysia because you can buy it on Amazon. And it costs $49.99, which is about 200 ringgit.
US dollars,
US
right?
dollars. Okay. So $49.99 US dollars. So I thought, you know, why is everyone talking about it? And I got some friends who are really tech savvy and they said, oh, this is great. Why? Because basically now you have a small little device, size of a packet of cigarettes. You plug it into your car charger or your USB or your, you know, your cigarette lighter. You put it on top of your dashboard. Once it's activated, you can speak to it. Mm-hmm. It recognizes voices and it can go into Alexa. Do you use Alexa?
No, I don't.
Anyone here use Alexa?
Nope.
The reason that I didn't use, I wanted to use Alexa at one point, but Amazon, for the most part, has been severely limited here in Malaysia.
Yes.
This has been one of the issues.
Okay. I don't shop online. I'm
old school.
I'm old school. I like to feel, touch. I like to go to the store.
I
like to talk to the salesperson, maybe get their Instagram account, things like that. Anyway, so a lot of people are starting to go online and shop. You know that. It's happening. Lazada, Zalora, and all that. But now comes Alexa. So if you do a lot of purchasing with Alexa, you can also use a little Echo Auto to do your navigation, get your music, work out your appointments. Basically, it's like your little secretary.
Yeah.
All this is already available in cars today. You got it in the Volvos, you got it in the German cars, you know, you got it as a tablet, as a big screen, something you touch and feel. But that means you got to take your eyes off the road and actually touch a screen, or maybe, you know, even if you're living with the car for a year and you know everything where it is, you still have to, you know, look down a little bit. But with this device, you don't have to look down at all. You're speaking to it. So what got me going is, you know, for about 200 ringgit, I can put a device on my aging car and suddenly modernize it without a big tablet on it.
Which features would you use, though, do you think?
Okay, like for me, I think the only feature I'll use is navigation. Yes, I have Waze on my phone and I'm happy to use it. But, you know, if I've got this thing for 200 ringgit sitting on my dashboard, I might use it for some other silly little things. You know, maybe I'll decide, okay, you know, I'm going to have an appointment with BFM. I'll ask it to, you know, record it, or maybe, you know, take some notes for me, or things like that. Or maybe if I finally decide to go online shopping to get some, you know, undergarments or socks, you know, things like that, then I might use it. And I think
you're very specific about your online purchases.
I mean, you can get some of the features that I've seen Alexa do. One, completely pointless but funny. You can make it sing a song for you.
Okay.
Which is kind of funny. You know, a bit of fun. It might last once, twice when your friends come in. You know, have you seen this? This is what it does. But one of the big problems that they had with Alexa late last year and earlier this year is a whole bunch of people who had got Alexa at home and their TV was picking up, the Alexa was actually picking up signals from the TV.
Okay.
And somebody on a TV station said, Alexa, buy me a Doll's House. And all of a sudden, these people who had Amazon accounts and an Alexa ended up with a Doll's House in their online shopping cart. So these are little things that you have to be really careful of. Because if I was coming in your car and you popped out to buy some petrol, I'd be like, Alexa, buy Daniel a dollhouse.
Okay, but that could also be the guy on TV.
Yeah.
Is the guy actually manufacturing the dollhouses?
It could well be. I mean, it's savvy, very smart.
Yes.
But I mean, something like this, which is once you've got it in the car and it's always on, it's always connected to your internet and one thing. And the one thing that would bother me is the privacy issues of it.
Okay.
You know, you don't know what it's recording. You don't know what information or data it's kind of sharing. That'd be something I'd be a little bit concerned.
But the thing is,
it
can only connect to Alexa if your smartphone is in vicinity. So you have to be in the car for it to work.
Right, so it's if you not walk 4G away, or anything.
No, you don't put a SIM card in it. So if you walk away, then it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
So if your friend wants to be funny with you, he probably thinks it's still working. You'll say, okay, you know, order 10 pizzas or something.
Right.
But I think all that can be worked out. I mean, this is something that, you know, even if you have a tablet in your car and you can go onto Google and everything else, you know, a lot of cars now, German cars have this concierge service that has in the car. It comes with the car.
Yeah.
You put in a SIM card. You pay for a year. And when the driver walks away, the passenger can still do some ordering.
Mm.
I know, like, my kids, when I test some of these cars, they'll ask, like, where's the nearest curry pup, you know?
As would I. Yeah. Arif, what would you use it for, you think?
I think, because Alexa's only voice command, right?
Yes.
And I think I'd be scared to use it as navigation. I don't know about you, but I think when I use Waze, I leave it on mute because it's always slightly wrong, the distances to the junctions. It always says 400 meters. Then you look at the signboard, it's like 800 meters. So I don't think I'll use it quite a lot. I don't think it's useful at all to me other than Bluetooth music.
Okay,
so
I want to come back to you on that, Arif. I've had that problem before. And then what I realized is when I met someone who's a techie and he said, you know, the thing is, it's all up to your 4G signal. If your signal is retarded or slow, of course, Waze can't give you an accurate reading.
Yeah.
The other thing is how fast you're going. If you're going fast, because he drives a BMW. If he's going fast...
Used to drive a BMW.
But he's buying a new one.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you're going very fast, then of course, Waze needs some time to pick up because, again, your 4G signal. Mm. Many weeks ago, we talked about, you know, car connectivity, it's all about the internet that's out there.
Yeah.
So if broadband speed is slow, you're not going to be able to work this perfectly well.
Yeah.
Plus, I don't think I'll be comfortable with navigation that's not visual.
Without a map.
Without a map, because there are times when you're sitting at traffic.
You need to see something. Yes.
And you want to zoom out, or you want to zoom. Yeah, you want to see.
You need to read your map.
Your route, yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, 400 meters to turn left, and then, all right, where do I go from there?
Okay. And what if it gets it wrong? You know, how do you backtrack? Yeah. Alexa, you were wrong, you know. what does she do? What does she say?
Yeah.
You know, you need to U-turn, you need to go back. And I don't know. It'd be a little bit confusing for me.
Mm. I mean, like, for me, I need to see.
Yeah.
I have to see. If I don't see, I get a bit, you know, fluttered, you know. I need to see, you know, being old and all that, you know.
But, I mean, this begs the question, though. I mean, Waze has only been around, like, maybe the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes. Yeah.
Have we become that dependent on it now?
I've become dependent on it.
Completely dependent on it.
Yes, completely. Not daily. Mm. But if I'm going for an event or a new place or whatever, and I also use it, like, you know, for example, now, today afternoon, I want to come here at 12 noon. I want to be here on time. So before I leave my house, I'll check Waze where the traffic situation is. I'm not using it to get here. I'm just checking the traffic situation. Mm-hmm. If I see those red lines, I know, okay, I avoid that highway, is it? But if I see clear all the way, then I know, okay, I can come a bit later. You know, things like that. So I need to use Waze daily so that I don't waste time on the road. And, like, you know, the last week, it's been raining every evening.
Yep.
Waze has been so useful.
Yep.
This segment was brought to you by Volvo. Inspiring technology, shaping tomorrow's mobility.
Speaking about rain, we've got something to talk about in just a couple of minutes.
Exactly, yep. Richard.
Coming up. Anyway, of course, that was our AT&T segment. It was all about Amazon's Auto Echo, or Echo Auto.
You like that?
Yes.
Anyway, smart little man.
You are, of course, listening to Cruise Control here on BFM 89.9. Let's move on. No car review this week, unfortunately, but we do have a discussion about will your car insurance pay for this damage? Now, the video that I saw, I think it was shared via WhatsApp, and it was all over Facebook and wherever. A big flood that had happened by the side or close to IOI Mall fairly recently.
In Puchong, yes.
It was ridiculous.
Yep.
Yes. But that's not as ridiculous as the one I saw in Sunway, where the car park flooded.
The entire thing flooded.
The whole thing was flooded. Now, this happens all the time, but it doesn't happen continuously. Mm. So every now and then when we have constant flash floods, like, you know, a few years ago in Penang, I think 2 years ago in Penang, where a lot of people lost a lot of belongings and their houses. Now, when all this happens, the first thing is insurance. So I get a lot of people writing to me, you know, like, if your car gets flooded, what do you do? And they say, oh, my insurance company didn't pay. Can you help me? You know, I think they're cheating me and everything. Now, the question is, when was the last time you read your insurance policy, no matter what policy it is?
Right.
Whether it's house insurance, car, motorcycle, nobody reads the policy.
Yep.
And I'm the same. I don't read the policy. That 27-page document, you know, a tree got cut for it.
Yeah.
And it's gone to waste. And then 1 year later, you just trash it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've been talking to insurance companies for years and saying, can you just give us a digital version? So over the years, I decided before people start writing in, I will do an article on this. What is covered by your insurance in a situation like this? But the funny thing is, as I'm writing it, already people were messaging me. So now what happened is, I contacted an insurance company, a friend of mine who's working in an insurance company. I said, okay, listen, I don't have my policy. And of course, he gave me, you know, a 5-minute lecture. I said, listen, tell me exactly what can they claim or cannot claim in a situation like this. So of course, there's a thing called the peril, inclusion of special perils, P-E-R-I-L-S.
Like the act of God.
Yes. So if you drive and your car gets into a flood, which means loss or damage of your car caused by flood, typhoon, hurricane, storm, tempest, volcano eruptions, earthquake, landslide, landslip, sinking of soil, earth, and other conclusions of nature, not covered unless you buy extra cover. And buying that extra cover, nobody talks to their insurance agent about it. Because why? If you ask the insurance agent, it's not like an extra 10 ringgit or 20 ringgit. And even if it was, a lot of people say, I don't want to pay for that.
It doesn't happen that often here.
Exactly.
Evidence shows otherwise.
And you know, when it rains, I won't go out and things like that. So, okay, that's one thing.
Just to be clear, floods, typhoons, hurricanes, storms, tempests, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, landslides, landslips, subsidence or sinking of the soil, not covered.
Not covered. But you can buy the policy to cover. Now, when the big disaster happened in Penang a couple of years ago, some car insurance companies came forward and covered some of the cars partially. Because, you know, they actually looked at case-to-case basis, and some of them, which were not, you know, high-income earners, they said, okay, we'll cover part of the repairs. Because some of these cars, can you imagine now, you're driving a $50,000 Japanese car, a car worth $50,000, maybe it's 4 years old or whatever, and you still have a loan on it. And something like this happens, to change your engine and gearbox alone will be about $25,000, $30,000. And it's cash. If you're driving such a car, there's a good chance you don't have that kind of cash sitting around. So what do? When you go to the workshop, you start arguing with the mechanic. Now, the mechanic is, I mean, just if he says, okay, friend, I want to help you, no labor charge, he's still got to buy the parts. And the parts might be almost three-quarters the price. So you can't argue with the mechanic. You go to the insurance company, you start banging on your table, say, listen, you did not buy the cover. I can't do anything about it. So this is an ongoing problem. So if you know you're living in Klang Valley, for example, Penang, previous situation, but now living in Klang Valley, when you renew your insurance, think about it. Money out right now, but in the long run, you're not going to have any headache because you know Klang Valley is going to get flooded a year from now.
At some point, yeah.
Exactly.
What about something like a tree branch falling on your car, for example?
Not covered. Because
not
covered. You know why? Because you are not in motion.
Right.
If you had an accident with a tree, again, you're not covered.
Right. But okay, so if I'm driving down the road and the wind blew a tree as I was driving and it hit my car as I was driving, am I covered or not?
No. So you have to go to the town council and try and make a claim. But that's not easy because some trees are not planted by the town council.
Right.
And it's not the town council's job to keep certain trees. Like say, if you go to a gated community and a tree fell.
Like where you live. You know, these very expensive,
I mean, I have a gate. You know, I'm not in a gated
very
community.
Very expensive communities.
Petaling Jaya. And, you know, you can't go to the developer and say, listen, you planted a tree and it fell on me.
Right.
So that's one issue. Say now you're driving along some shop houses. And, you know, some shop houses have zinc roofs. And the zinc gets blown. And it smashes into a car. Can you claim? No, you cannot. So there's so many instances like this that you can't get away with it. Of course, you can go and argue with your insurance company, but it's very, very difficult. It's all about one car hitting one vehicle hitting another vehicle.
That's what I was going to say. The insurance that most people will get is generally just that, isn't it?
Yes.
You know,
wait, so how much will these inclusion of special perils cost?
It's all a percentage of the value of the car. And each insurance company has got a different value to it. So we can't give an exact value. So like this insurance company told me their values, but it's not fair because the others have a different value. The thing is now, the other problem also happens like this. Like one guy actually wrote to me and he was very descriptive. His car got caught in a flood. His engine is okay, but somehow or other, the underneath of his car has started to rust badly. This happened a couple of years ago. And over the years, he's just been living with it. So he said, now with the rust, all the water came in and was leaking through and this and that. And my wiring got short and all kinds of things. He says, how do I make my car total loss and claim insurance? I said, you can't make a total loss. He says, no, what if I drove it into a tree? I said, what? You know, then he gives me all these instances. Can I drive it into a tree? Can I drive it into a mining pool? Can I do that? I said, listen, all this is, you know, it's an offense. If you do all this, say, yeah, but you know, I can't sell my car because my car has got no value now. I owe the insurance company $20,000. The resale value is $6,000. If I do something like this, at least I'll get some money. Then I settle a little bit with the insurance company and I might be able to walk away clean. I said, friend, I can't help you. And then after that, another guy wrote to me and said how his car got flooded in Sunway. And when he got flooded in Sunway in the car park, it's a Japanese car. It's not worth very much, but he still got about a 5-year loan on it. And I don't want to mention the brand of the car because it's nothing to do with the car being wrong. But, you know, when he made a mistake of actually starting the car, you know, and he thought, you know, the water didn't go into the exhaust because you let the water subside. But then when you go and start the car, there's water in the exhaust that's got into the muffler. So it got into the car system. It made it worse and everything else. Now he's got a bill of about 15,000-16,000, an estimation about 15,000-16,000. He says, listen, can I find a way for someone to come and steal my car?
Wow.
Wow.
So I said, what are you going to do? He said, no, I park it aside on the road and then I leave the keys in. I said, yes, but you know, the insurance company will say, you left the key in. No, how will they know? I said, yeah, when you make the claim, you have to show them both the keys to show that you did not leave the key. And he said, no, I can say I lost one key. I said, if they ever find that car again, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, police trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only solution for the future is you go and look into all this and pay that little bit of premium.
Pay that little bit of insurance.
Yes.
So here's a question for you, though. So the let's take the Sunway example. It's a private car park developed by a private developer.
Yes.
You know? So technically, you are parked on their private land.
Yes. But as you go in, do you know the little signboard?
We're not responsible. Not responsible, of course. They get out
but
of it
wait,
just by that.
I'm sure there must be some sort of building standards that you
You
know,
would think so, right?
Can you imagine how much the lawyer's fees would be?
Well, I mean, if you built your car park right in the first place so they don't flood.
Okay.
You know.
Now, you've got Sunway, and you've got Richard Bradbury going to see a lawyer and saying, I want to sue Sunway. Your lawyer is not going to do it for you for free.
Of course not. Of course not.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's saying something where people are at that stage now where they know they can't afford to get it done and they have to resort to these methods. That's
so I can see worrying. A lot of Malaysians in the next couple of weeks going to hit big bills and then they can't pay it. And what's going to happen is you're going to have a lot of people trying to fight it out in different ways, and it's just going to be a whole mess. The other problem is a lot of these cars will then be dried out and put into used car dealers.
And people won't know about it.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Folks, I'm sorry if your car did get flooded over the last few days.
We are really sorry. Yes.
Very unfortunate. But we have to wrap up the show for today. Of course, that was our little chat about whether or not you'll be covered under your car insurance policies. This, of course, has been Cruise Control. We have looked at online driving license test fee has come down from 27 ringgit to 20 ringgit. Then, of course, we spoke about how Proton have been busy. Mazda wants to zoom their sustainability. Daniel get excited about the Volvo XC40, which he might give us a
hopefully.
Review of. And then we did our AT&T segment that was all about the Echo Auto from Amazon. And then, of course, we wrapped up with whether or not your car insurance will pay for the damage. This, of course, has been Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. And of course, Mr. Arif Roos, the man with the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.